17, 18, 19, 20. There are lots of white lines in the road on the way to Dr. Rupert's office, and I can't help counting them. Dad's come to stay with me, and he's been driving me to my appointment twice a week, just like when I was a teenager and he drove me to the library and community pool after Mother died. His wife, Jill, sent me a care package of apricot bubble bath and lotion, gourmet chocolate peanut butter cups, and movie star magazines. Now I feel bad that Jill's alone in Vermont while Dad's stuck out here chauffeuring me around. But it's a good thing he's driving because Dr. Rupert switched me to a new antidepressant that makes my head feel light, as though my scalp might float away. I feel more like a gas than a solid, and driving doesn't seem possible with all these lines in the road. According to Dr. Rupert, I had a depressive breakdown brought on by grief. It can happen after such a large life loss, he explained, as though showing up at the office in your bathrobe is perfectly understandable. I don't like having to take the pills twice a day. I don't mind relying on eyeglasses or vitamins or mousse, but relying on pills confirms that I'm feeble.
You look nice today,
Dad says, clicking on the signal to change lanes and dipping his head to peer over the top of his glasses at me. Thank you. He's probably referring to the fact that I actually got dressed. Shed my pajamas, showered, and wriggled into jeans and Ethan's boxy old ski sweater. Dad wears his retiree uniform of khaki pants with a navy chamois shirt. He sticks to blue because he's colorblind, and if he strays into reds, greens, and browns, he ends up clashing and looking like a kid who dressed himself. A stub of pencil sticks out from behind his ear for doing the New York Times crossword puzzle in the waiting room, while Dr. Rupert stares at me, and I stare at the oriental carpet. Gorgatek has...